Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
If you are a digital native, having grown up with the internet, you might be a bit more savvy about the risks and threats in cyberspace. Are you concerned about your older family members, parents, grandparents, beyond, that are venturing out on the net, shopping online, posting on social network sites? Regardless of your age and generation, we are going to discuss today how to guard against being a patsy or prey, falling victim to scams and cybercrime. Welcome to the Social Network Show. I'm your host, Jane Karwoski, experimental psychologist, Dr. J. And your co-host today is Michelle Boykins, Senior Director of Communications at America's National Crime Prevention Council. One of the many wonderful things about Michelle is that she knows the leaders in many aspects of crime prevention. Who is with us today, Michelle, and what are we going to learn?
Well, Dr. J, today we have Lieutenant James Perez. And he's going to talk to us about protecting our seniors out there. And just a little bit about Lieutenant Perez's background. He is currently employed by the Fairfield, Connecticut Police Department in the Special Services Division and has more than 20 years of experience in law enforcement. He's also one of our trainers at the National Crime Prevention Council, very knowledgeable on a variety of topics. He's the commander in the Special Services Division, which includes a liaison officer with the Honorable Police Commission in Fairfield. And he oversees police operations, including the Marine Division, Dive Team, Special Agent Program, Crash Investigators, Traffic Officers, Animal Control, Crossing Guards, and the South Benson Marina. He also has experience in terrorism risk assessment, and has extensive experience in crime prevention through environmental design, or CEPTED, as we tend to know it at NCPC. Welcome, Lieutenant Perez.
Thanks for having me.
So let's dive right in. We're happy to have you. Let's talk about what happens, especially during the holidays. Do scammers tend to target the elderly more during the holidays?
You know, they do, and let's just kind of put it into context. For instance, charity giving, we know that people do it throughout the year, but seniors are especially vulnerable in our targets because there's a 30% uptick in charity giving just before the holidays, and so the scammers understand this. We know that scammers out there, just so that you understand, they use psychological terror tactics against people in order to get them to comply with their scams. And sometimes that could be with social compliance, making them believe that other people do these things. It could be under an authority figure where they actually try to scare the person into, with an authoritative title in order for them to respond. But one of the things that we have to look out for, especially today, is if you think about it, we currently have about 40 million seniors across the country today. Now, I want everybody to understand this because this is very important. Those born between 1946 and 1964, the baby boomers, number about 75 million or so. And since October of 2010, when the first baby boomer put in for Social Security, that number will spike up every single year because that 75 million has to join the fold of the current 40 million. So I would venture to say that this program is not only vital, but it's extremely important because in the next coming years, you're going to see a lot more issues and problems coming up with seniors, especially them being targeted. So with that said, I will tell you that the FBI has given three reasons why seniors become targets for fraud or scams. Number one, these scammers know that the older Americans have their own nest egg. Number two, those who grew up in the 30s, 40s, and 50s were raised to be polite, and that means that they don't say no, they answer phone calls, they answer doors, But really the third reason and the most important one that I think really strikes us all is that these older Americans feel that if they report a fraud to the police, they're too ashamed to tell the police, but they're more ashamed to tell their families because they're afraid that their families are going to deem them incompetent and then unfortunately put them into a nursing home. These are very real fears that older Americans go through. And so we have a responsibility in law enforcement and even a greater responsibility in the greater community of anybody who has anything to do with a senior to actually try to protect them as much as we can. And the only way that I know best to do that and the only way that we can effectively do this is by putting out the proper information and making that senior a smaller target for these fraudsters.
And can you talk a little bit about how seniors are targeted by the scammers? Is it via phone, via the internet?
Well, I'll tell you, they do use the phone and they do use the internet. They also come in person to your home. One of the things that we have to understand is that most seniors today, it used to be 5 years ago that only 30% of seniors were using the internet. Now, as the baby boomer era enters in, you have a much more well-educated and sophisticated user of the computer who happens to be a senior. And so a lot of these frauds are perpetrated through the internet. They send spyware, all these malicious software that they actually send through the virtue of emails or pop-ups that can actually become very dangerous. And I'll give you a quick example. The internet can be a wonderful, and technology itself can be a wonderful tool. It can also be horrific for us, and I'll explain how. Years ago, there was this program called Keylogger, which is a computer program designed for parents to be able to monitor what their children watch on the computer. Well, that Keylogger has been picked up by the bad guy, as usually it happens when a good technology comes out. They always figure out a way to turn it around for their own profit. And what they do is they will send you a malicious software. A malicious email. That's an email that you didn't expect, that when you open the email, it automatically will insert itself into your computer. This Keylogger program is especially dangerous, not only to seniors, but to all computer users, but particularly to seniors, because you'll be completely unaware that the program has been installed in your computer. And as a result, every keystroke moving forward that you do on that computer is being recorded back to the fraudster. They can get your username. They can get your passwords. They can get all kinds of information, your contact list. So it's very important. I mentioned earlier about teaching the seniors to become a small target. We do that by introducing programs, tips, and tactics for them to prevent themselves from becoming a target in the first place.
Can I ask you a question in there? You mentioned that the Keylogger virus or whatever that would be in an unusual, unexpected email simply by opening the email, not clicking on an attachment, but simply by opening the email. Is that correct?
Right. Sometimes by just simply opening the email, depending on the code that they actually put into the program, it can actually go into your computer. That's why I constantly tell people, if you did not, the way to become a smaller target, if you did not initiate the contact first, and I don't care how alluring the subject title is in the email, if you are not expecting it or you do not recognize it, you should not open it. You should simply just delete it from your computer. Or more importantly, report it under spam, and that way, the computer companies that are responsible for monitoring spam will prevent it from coming back into your email.
Okay, so don't open it, but report as spam.
That's right. Okay. Don't open it, report it as spam, delete it. Get rid of it. You shouldn't, listen, no message coming to you is that important. Oftentimes they'll tag a line like say, hey, saw you in this picture or saw you here. And with social network being so popular, people want to know where they're being seen. And so oftentimes they'll know your first name and they'll put in, hey, saw you last night at this place. You know, and it's all these messages are intended to lure you in.
The importance of this, can you give us examples of a particular scam? Is there such a thing that particularly targets the older generation? And I also wanted to know, when you say senior citizen, is that starting at what age?
65 and older.
Okay. So is there are there some of these scams that would be especially appealing to people 65 years and older?
Sure. There's a couple different ones. There's the jury duty scam. This is one that's particularly popular today. And what it is they send you, we know that most seniors have an excellent civic duty responsibility and they take it seriously. And so they receive an email saying that they missed a jury duty session and that there's a warrant that's going to be put out for their arrest. So they use scarcity tactics to literally submit the senior to comply. And what they'll do is they'll say if you give us your date of birth and social number, we will see if you've been cleared from that arrest list, from that warrant.
Yeah. So they're looking.
The minute that they put date of birth or social or any biographical information on the computer, it's over. Your identity has been compromised, and now you can expect some serious problems with respect to identity theft taking place. Another one is oftentimes for seniors, they'll receive a Medicare email indicating that they want to confirm checking accounts. Sometimes they'll say that they have a new Medicare program with all the new laws that have come out with the Affordable Care Act. Sometimes what will happen is they'll end up spinning off of that and saying that Medicare has a new program that we want you to sign up for that will be a lot cheaper for you than what you currently have. So all of these things, all of these emails sent are designed to get you to give up information. They don't necessarily want your money right away, although ultimately that is their goal. But what they want that's more valuable to them than the money right now is they want your information, your important biographical information. That's address, name, date of birth, social number, all these things where they can then replicate everything from credit cards to opening up new electric bills, cell phone service. You would be shocked at the number of victims out there, and especially seniors, because remember, senior citizens don't necessarily need to apply for credit, so oftentimes they're not checking their credit reports.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why the federal government has mandated that credit bureaus allow one free credit report from each bureau to the seniors or to anyone for that matter, because there is such a prevalence of identity theft and scams, and they're really trying to prevent it. So you have the opportunity to apply for your credit report for free once, one credit report a year per the three credit bureaus. So that's three credit reports in 1 year so that you can see the history of your credit report, because oftentimes you'll be a victim of identity theft and you might not know it for months or even years. The only time that you're going to know you're a victim is if the scammer either gets arrested and goes to prison or passes away. That's the only time, and that's going to happen 3 months after the collection bureaus want their money, and they're going to come to you for that.
So doing your credit check. Well, thank you, and we're going to go into some more issues about scams and other harmful software. This is Jane Karwoski. You're listening to The Social Network Show with my co-host, Michelle Boykins of the NCPC, and our guest, Lieutenant Perez.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails, only navigate to trusted sites, and change your passwords every 90 days. Backup important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet. Keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities. Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where Michelle Boykins of the National Crime Prevention Council and I are chatting with Lieutenant James Perez of the Fairfield, Connecticut Police Department. And we were discussing some of the scams that go on, especially targeting older people or those who are of a generation who are more trusting, let's say, than more recent ones. There was something called a Jamaican scam, so-called, that was successful in defrauding many elderly victims. Is that something that's still going on?
It is, and the Jamaican scam is a scam in which you will receive a phone call, sometimes a letter, but usually a phone call telling you that you've won some type of prize, whether it's a vehicle or money, and they kind of try to mimic sort of like the Publisher's Clearinghouse way of doing things. Oftentimes, criminals will resort to a legitimate model to actually perpetrate their crimes. And in this case, do that. They'll say that you won some item of some sort, whether it's a vehicle or cash. But oftentimes, what they need you to do is they need you to pay processing fee. They'll need you to pay a tax fee. And the sad thing is that almost always, when there's a scam involved, you will always, always, always get a request to wire money. Wiring money should be the first red flag that you should come to mind when you're speaking with someone. There really is no reason to wire money today unless you know exactly who you're wiring it to. An example would be a relative is on vacation and you know that they're going on vacation, and let's say you even took part in driving them to the airport. So you know that they're in their destination and they call you and you recognize their voice and they're in trouble, that's one thing. But if you receive a phone call out of the blue, especially asking you to wire money or to Western Union money through MoneyGram or Western Union or through Green Dot cards, you have to hang up the phone because that means that it's definitely a scam. There should be no reason for them to wire money. But anyway, the example of one example of the Jamaican lottery scam is just that. They'll tell you that you won either some type of winnings through a lottery or through a sweepstakes of some sort. Now, one thing I want the listeners to understand and be clear about this, it is against federal law for any American citizen to be involved in a foreign lottery.
Oh.
You will never win the lottery outside of the United States because it's illegal for you to do so. So if anyone comes to you and calls and says, hey, you've just won the lottery from, I don't care what country it's from, other than the U.S. or even in the U.S., you should be suspect. Be suspect. If it's too good to be true, it is not true, number one. Number two, you will always be safe if, no matter what dealings you have with anyone, whether it's by internet, whether it's by phone, or whether it's in person, you should always, always, always corroborate or try to verify the information that you're receiving. There is no reason for you to make an instant decision right there and then. That's, incidentally, another tactic used by fraudsters to actually get you to bite, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for you to rush anything. Take your time, and when someone gives you a piece of information, especially that you've won something, I need you to hang up the phone with them And if you are still interested, then you need to independently verify either through a family member or through calling the company and finding out if, in fact, you have one. If you're given an email and it has a company logo on it, don't automatically assume that that's from the company, and don't click back on the email that you received. Shut down your whole email service, open up the internet if you want, and then do your research afterwards. That way you can ensure that you're actually going to the legitimate company. With technology being so advanced today, we have replications of letterheads, company logos, and they look so realistic that even sometimes it's deceiving, even to law enforcement as we're investigating.
Well, yeah, even money can be counterfeited, so that is something we shouldn't really be too surprised about. Michelle, do you have some questions about programs that are prevalent these days?
Well, one question, thank you, Dr. J, that I have for Lieutenant Perez is, I recently heard about a term called scareware. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, scareware is just a variation of malware, which stands for malicious software. So what you have is you have these hackers who literally are very knowledgeable in computer programming, and they redirect codes or they change the way we receive emails or messages. And scareware is nothing more than a pop-up that will show up on your computer. And for those of you who don't understand what I'm talking about, I want you to imagine buying a magazine, and when you open the magazine, there's a post-it on the very next page with a message on it. That's similar in electronic terms to scareware or a pop-up. So you're on a computer page and you're kind of browsing around, and all of a sudden a pop-up, or what I like to say a post-it, pops up and gives you a specific instruction or a specific message. Usually they will tell you that your computer has a virus in it, and in order for you to clear that virus, you have to click here. What they really want you to do is, once you click into there, it's going to, more than likely, it's going to redirect you to a site that they have established. And usually when that site is open, it creates a highway between your computer and their computer. And in that highway, they could send down there any type of virus that they want that will embed itself in your computer. And really the goal of it is to get you to give up information or to buy frivolous products. So the same example, you're trolling through the internet, and all of a sudden a pop-up shows up telling you that you have a virus in your computer, and then it'll tell you, click here. You click on there, and they'll have some fictitious program running in the background that'll all of a sudden tell you that you have 23 dangerous items on your computer, and for $29.99, they can clean it for you. Well, the minute you click on there and you give up your credit card information, you are literally partaking in a scam, and they will take your information and spend your money.
That's really scary, and so many, seniors are so vulnerable to these things. In addition to the seniors, are there others who are victimized in these situations?
Well, anyone can be victimized from one of these, tactics. But the victim could also be the legitimate company that's actually operating completely legal. Oftentimes, they will mimic some of these companies, but other victims could be, it could be a third victim. So they can take someone's information and they can act as if they're that person, and then they'll scam you with that person's information. And when the police go to investigate, we're literally investigating an innocent third party. So there are companies can be a victim. Anyone really can be a victim of scams and identity theft. And I think that the most important thing here is that people literally take the time to study how these scams happen and how these identity thieves operate. And more importantly, understand that in order for you to become a small target, and that's what we're talking about really, is how to make the senior a small target, there are specific steps that you can take in preventing yourself from becoming a target. Because you see, whether we realize it or not, every single one of us, all of our information is stored somewhere. And right now, We have this company called Direct Marketing Associates, DMA. They're in Carmel, New York. They are the mothership of data mining. So what they do, they're part of the reason why you end up with so much junk mail at your home. If you want to reduce your junk mail by 80%, and I'm not even kidding, 80 to 90%, you have to get off the grid or get off some of these lists that are out there. And DMA is the first one. In fact, the government is so concerned about it that they have worked out a deal with DMA that if any customer or any citizen feels that they want to come off of that list, they can call DMA and literally get off of their list. Because what DMA does is they data mine the information and then they sell it all across the country and sometimes around the world. Your information is worth money. And they sell it legitimately for the purposes of legal telemarketers and legal marketers to actually reach you.
And what so is their number?
Or become a smaller target, you have to call up DMA and get off that list. Another list to get off is credit cards. If you're receiving credit card offers in the mail, you should really call them and unsubscribe yourself from it. There's no reason in today's day and age for you to be receiving credit card offers by mail.
Lieutenant Perez, do you have the DMA phone number?
I do. If you have a question and you want Direct Marketing Association to opt you out of their program, you can call 1-212-768-7277, and they'll actually opt you out. The other thing I was talking about is credit cards. You can opt out of that as well. You can call the number at opt-out, which is 1-888-567-8688. Two more things that I would recommend you do, and if you do these things, you will be well on your way to actually become a smaller target and eventually get off of the radar of these marketers, because oftentimes a lot of these scammers get their information from telemarketing lists. The other thing you can do is don't forget the Do Not Call. So you can go to donotcall.gov and actually input your phone number, but understand that you have to do your landline separate from your cell phone. You don't just give your name and then they operate or they restrict all your phones. You have to do them separately. And do it more than once just to be sure that you're actually on it. The other thing is contact your credit bureaus and receive a copy of your credit report, rather. You would be shocked to see that some people have information on there that's erroneous, that doesn't belong there, or that you've already become a victim of identity theft, and they're actually opening up a phone service or a utility service on your name. It's important that you do that. And the one good thing about the credit report, it's a history of you. It's all uniquely you. So when you go there, it's going to give you information such as all the places you worked, all the addresses you've ever lived. And in a way, it gives you kind of like a memory lane type of benefit from it.
Okay.
So besides just being able to protect yourself and check on yourself, you also have a lot of reminiscing once you see that list.
Okay, that's great. Well, you have given us a lot of valuable information, and thank you so much, Lieutenant Perez of Fairfield, Connecticut. Michelle.
You're very welcome, and have a great day.
Michelle, thank you for joining us again as my co-host.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Dr. J.
And thank you for listening. Please mention to your social networks, online and off, that you enjoy The Social Network Show. If you're listening via iTunes or Podcast One, please add us to your playlist. And do check out thesocialnetworkshow.com, especially the blog tab. If you like receiving email updates, you can subscribe from there. So until we welcome you here again, please have fun and be safe online and off.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.